Hey Adam, thanks for joining us this morning, mate. The big news, of course, overnight is that the FFA failed to get the resolution through at the annual general meeting, and it looks like FIFA's going to step in. What a nice circumstance that we find ourselves in.
As usual. As per usual. Not really surprised at this. It's the next step in what still remains a very long process, I believe. FIFA are now going to have a look at it early next week, and then probably not much will get done over the course of December, January, while everything kind of slows down for Christmas, and then everything will come back and then get start ticking over again. And yeah, we've got a while to go on this. It obviously swings in the favour of those who want drastic reform today, but not totally in their favour. I do believe that I wouldn't count the lowies out, the lowy side of things, in being able to convince FIFA about what they believe. But everything we've heard thus far is a lot of noise on the other side of the fence with the clubs, led by the man making a lot of noise, who just loves it for as a hobby, Greg Griffin. That's making noise, that is. He loves it as a hobby to totally blow the joint up. I can't see that happening either with immediate effect. So, yeah, it's a long way to go. It's just a shame that, unfortunately, in the meantime, the all focus will be on this. And again, that the A-League and to a lesser extent the W-League is left to wither and stumble and bumble along without full attention being paid to it. It's not good enough.
So, Adam, how much of this has been due to the bitterness and the enmity between parties rather than what's good for the game?
Oh, yeah, it's all about that. I'm convinced both sides have lost focus on what is good for the game. I'm convinced that the current board, led by Stephen Lowy, has an eye very much on the past with a view to the future. It should be the other way around. You should be respecting the past with all eyes on the future. He said it today. He's just so worried that this is going to take us back to the bad old days of Australian football. I think we've come a little way since then. I do believe that we are stuck. That there's a little bit of the mindset still stuck back in 2003, 2004, 2005, when the game was just going through massive upheaval and heaval, and Frank Lowy came in and was right for the time. He came in and did what needed to be done then. But I still think that the remnants of how it was done then carries on to today, and it can't be that way. The game has fast-tracked itself, probably beyond what they thought it would. The A-League is a success story. You look at it and you get frustrated with the crowds and whatever at the moment, but that's only because we're expecting it to keep growing the way it has been growing. It is a success story if you take a step back over the 12, 13 years that it's been in existence. The W League is a success story. The Matildas are a success story. The Socceroos qualifying for four straight World Cups through Asia, three of them through Asia, is a success story. So there's successes all over the place, but the problem with the football fraternity in this country, obviously, is that they want everything yesterday, not tomorrow, yesterday. So everyone just needs to take deep breaths and remind themselves what they're in it for, and that's the enjoyment and purity of a great sport.
Of course, the things that we're waiting for, you know, things like expansion and second divisions, that's going to be delayed even further now, because I can't see FIFA just coming in and just spending a week or so and sorting things out. They'll make themselves comfortable here. They'll bring in whatever they need to bring in. If they've got to have some sort of caretaker board in there and work with them, they'll just take their time. And suddenly all these other exciting prospects in expansion and second division type discussions, real discussions and timelines put in place, that's just going to be held up further.
Yeah, they'll just tick over. And even if FIFA come in, they'll tick over. And there's no point in absolutely rushing things like this, because you want to get it right. You want to make sure. And, well, the A-League, in a sense, was rushed. And 12 years later, we've realised that now it's the wrong operating model. Everyone agrees on that. So that's what happens when you dive in and rush things. So I'm not saying that the way the A-League set up was a horrible thing. I just think they got a few things wrong, which has manifested itself through to today. So, yeah, it doesn't matter who's in charge. Things like second division and promotion and relegation are still thought of as something that you like, but something that's way down the track, unfortunately.
So let's talk about Sam Kerr. What a wonderful, wonderful prospect she is, as far as maybe putting football where we all want it to be, in that front and centre positive glow that's around the game. AFC Women's Footballer of the Year, just in the last 24 hours, there's talk that she'll be nominated by Western Australia as Australian of the Year. Many say that that she may well be the best female footballer in the world at the moment. With the political issues that we've had to endure, the Matildas and Sam are really the shining light for the game, aren't they?
I don't care what she wins, how she wins it. I just love watching her play football. That's the base of the argument. It's not even an argument. That's the base of the statement. It's just a joy to watch her play the sport that we love watching, and she plays it better than just about any female player on the planet. And again, against China, she was dynamic. And she wasn't at her absolute top, I don't think. She was still the most dangerous player on the park every time she went near it. So she's just superb. And it is the breath of fresh air that was absolutely needed with all the stench that's going on politically in Australian football. She's not blown it all away in terms of it does still exist, but it makes you think that, yeah, there is something special about this game, and we can produce players like this. She's not even at a halfway point of her career, and that's the best thing about it. She's got so much more to give.
Isn't it ironic, Adam, that it was only a few years ago that, you know, as much as people wanted to support the Matildas, a lot of it was pretty patronising sort of stuff. And people were arguing, well, they're not bringing anything to the financial pie, so why should we putting too many resources towards the Matildas? But this day and age, they're the team. Those girls are the ones that are almost taking us into the mainstream, where people are recognising football and actually enjoying it.
You need a superstar to connect. We've seen it with the A-League, and you've seen the hard work that has to be done this season when there was no pop at the start of the season. Last season we had Timmy. The two of the most successful seasons we've ever had with the A-League was when Del Piero got here and Timmy got here. No surprise that they correlated into bums on seats, eyeballs on television. And the Matildas were a great side to watch, especially in these last few years under Alan Stadgett. But since the superstardom has come, the superstardom factor through Sam Kerr, and hopefully a few other girls get this notoriety that she has got, because they surely deserve it, that their ability is as good as Sam in their particular position. So, it's given you something to hang on to. And you look at the Socceroos, the Socceroos' absolute top, absolute peak in the Australian sporting pecking order, if you like, was when we had guys like Harry Kuehl and Tim Cahill and Lucas Neal and Mark Viduka and Mark Schwartz are playing in the best competitions in the world. It's no secret. So Sam to do this has given the Matildas the push they have long deserved, and long may it continue.
Getting to the Fox Sports coverage of the A-League, which you do brilliantly, by the way, Adam. The first game on the weekend is on Friday night, Adelaide United versus Sydney FC. Of course, it's a replay of the FFA Cup final, which was a fantastic game, by the way. Went into extra time, and Adelaide had their chances, but Sydney overcame them, as they do often in these sort of games, especially when they're very tight. Can Adelaide turn the tables on Sydney in this game on Friday night?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it tonight at Coopers. Apparently it's going to be a bit wet, which is unfortunate. It's been stinking hot all week in Adelaide. We've finally got to a game that is extremely promotable, and the heavens might open. But anyway, that's by the by. It should be a great game of football. I'm not sure if Nikovic is going to play any part. He's got a calf injury, so that swings it back in Adelaide's favour, especially if Absalonson. He was on target a couple of weeks ago to make a return in this game, probably off the bench for his quad injury, but he was very, very close. Hopefully he's had no setbacks, and it'd be great to see him out there for Adelaide United, who, by my reckoning, if it's a group of three at the moment, Newcastle, Sydney and Adelaide, in terms of impressions made. And Sydney are the benchmark and still are. Newcastle aren't far off, but Adelaide, when they get their full complement back, we've seen it in so many games this season, even when they cop one or two, they're so resilient and they run out games so well. They're a good football side, so it should be a really good football match tonight.
And another one, of course, Saturday afternoon, Western Sydney Wanderers versus Brisbane Roar. Brisbane Roar is just so disappointing so far this year. They just can't get a run at it after beating Melbourne City a couple of weeks ago, 3-1. They were disappointing against Sydney last week. Well, they're playing their crosstown rivals in Western Sydney Wanderers this week. And again, Western Sydney are without their captain, Robbie Cornthwaite, who was sent off last week. And lucky that he didn't get any more time, given his response to the referee sending him off with that second yellow card. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, Brisbane, at the start of the season, we all looked at their squad and went, geez, there's a lot of old players and a lot of young players and not a lot in between. Is that going to hold them back? You can't make total judgment, obviously, in pre-season. You can't just go off a piece of paper. On paper, it looked that way. In practice, it actually has turned out that way as well. They just don't have the glue in the middle in an age bracket sense and in the park as well. Thomas Christensen has been a massive loss for Brisbane Roar because that's meant that Matt McKay has had to play, had to adjust his role severely, and it's just made life so hard for Brisbane, who haven't replaced their pace up front with like-for-like. They went for experience, and I reckon it's backfired a little because in this league, you need a certain amount of pace up in your front four, and Brisbane just don't have it, and they've been found out as such. As for Western Sydney, they're still adjusting under Josip Gombau. I think they'll be too good in this one because I think they're now getting used to what he wants to do. We didn't really get a good crack at it last week, a good look at it because of Cornthwaite's send-off, but they'll come through. They've got that many good players that I've mentioned before about the group of three, Newcastle, Adelaide, Sydney. If there's one outside that I had to jump into that, it's probably Western Sydney Wanderers.
And of course, Newcastle Jets, very impressive at home in particular under Ernie Merrick, is playing such a free-flowing brand of football. And even without Roy O'Donovan in the past weeks, they've been terrific. Even against 10 men against Victory last week, I thought they were brilliant in the way they just ripped them apart. Up against Melbourne City, you've got their own problems at the moment. Do you think City's got any chance there at the Hunter?
Oh, you can't be confident against Newcastle these days, and City haven't won in four. There's a little bit of not anxiety for their play, but they're not as sure of themselves as what they were in the early part of the season. So yeah, not convinced about Melbourne Sydney. I am convinced about Newcastle. They're great to watch. They've shown enough without Ronnie Vargas and Roy O'Donovan to suggest that they're just not two trick ponies. They're right in this competition, and Dimi Petratos has improved so much in the last 12 months, and he's actually flourished with the responsibilities, a bit like cricket. When a player becomes the captain, does his batting or bowling suffer? Well, when Dimi Petratos becomes the number 10 and the main attacking weapon for Newcastle, does he wither or does he actually push on a bit? And he's on the ladder. He's been great to watch, and I think he'll carry Newcastle to another victory here.
And Wellington at home against Melbourne Victory. Of course, Melbourne Victory so disappointing last week. It was almost brought on by the Mark Milligan send-off. But, you know, some people argue that Jets were outplaying him at that time anyway. Even after Victory started off so well with their Barbarousis opening goal. But Wellington Phoenix, they'd be really, really hurt and cut up about the way they performed last week too. So it's probably not going to be an easy game for Melbourne Victory over there in Wellington.
No, if Victory aren't in a crisis, they're damn close. And if they lose this one, yeah, it's massive trouble for Kevin Muscat and his side. I just can't figure out what exactly has gone wrong here because their squad is good enough. Their squad, it's got internationals, left, right, centre. I can't work out how their squad isn't good enough. Reece Williams missed it this week. It's a big loss for them. And Wellington, well, yeah, I don't know what to make of this match. I don't feel like tipping in, but you'll be intrigued with the result because of the ramifications for both sides. If it doesn't go well, it's almost desperation stakes for both of them. They've flattered to deceive all season.
Absolutely. And Central Coast Mariners, a team that we all love watching improve the way they have. Against Perth Glory, you've got another long trip from Perth. I'm not sure. They dealt with it okay against Melbourne City last week, but Kenny Lowe has been complaining about the amount of travel that they've had to do. Central Coast at home?
Yeah, Central Coast. Well, Perth were great last week against Melbourne City. I think it was underestimated because of all the controversy about the Simon Malachi's red card, but Central Coast were even better. They were fantastic against Wellington Phoenix, and they're good to watch. Astrovale is back into the squad this week. I don't know if he drops Apia up front, but I can't see how Paul Oakon could change a winning side from last week. They were at their dynamic best. They're a great side to watch, as you mentioned, Ralphie. And I think they'll continue at home and in front of the swaying palm trees and horse balls of Gosford.
Fantastic, mate. Look, Adam, thanks for joining us this morning. It's a terrific wrap there of the games this weekend. And of course, talking about the positives like Sam Kerr is fantastic. And let's see whether we can put behind us, at least for a weekend, all the political mess that we're in at the moment.
No worries, mate. Yeah, just put it to the side and enjoy your football. That's what I'm trying to do. So, there will always be, as long as there's football, there'll be politics, but you don't have to pay attention to the politics if you like football.
Good on you, mate. Keep up the good work there at Fox.
Cheers, mate. Have a good one.